From Vermont Public Radio, this is The Frequency. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. It's Tuesday, July 14th. Today on the podcast, conversations about going back to campus. First, today's headlines.
Vermont's top prison official said yesterday that an inmate's death in December reflected systemic failures by prison and medical staff. Kenneth Johnson was a 60-year-old African-American man with existing health conditions held in Northern State Correctional Facility in Newport. He died because of an undiagnosed tumor that blocked his airway. Corrections Commissioner Jim Baker said Johnson had complained for some time that he could not breathe. And although a number of investigations into the incident are ongoing, Baker said this.
And I've been briefed enough to know that no one should die in our custody the way that Mr. Johnson passed away.
Baker announced a revamped and renamed Department of Professional Standards, which he said will add accountability to prison operations.
The Department of Health reported 6 new cases of COVID-19 yesterday, 2 in Rutland County, 2 in Lamoille County, and 1 each in Chittenden and Caledonia counties. There have now been over 1,300 confirmed COVID-19 infections in the state since the start of the pandemic. 2 people are hospitalized, and the state's monitoring more than 1,500 travelers.
Londonderry has closed its town offices after someone who was inside the building doing research later tested positive for the new coronavirus. Town clerk Kelly Payala says the office will remain closed while town officials get tested and the health department performs contact tracing.
And the University of Vermont will not require students to submit standardized test scores with their applications in the coming academic year. UVM President Suresh Garamilla says the move will, quote, optimize equity among applicants, since there's uncertainty whether all students will have the opportunity to take the SAT or ACT during the pandemic. The change is a pilot program, and it'll only apply to first-year and transfer undergraduate applicants.
Speaking of UVM, we're near the halfway point of summer, and concerns about opening college campuses in the fall are becoming more urgent. Vermont's higher ed institutions have been making decisions about how they'll bring students back into dorms, dining halls, and classrooms, all while trying to minimize the spread of the coronavirus. On Vermont Edition yesterday, host Jane Lindholm spoke about this challenge with students, faculty, and administrators from colleges around the state, and we're going to hear some excerpts from the show now.
First, the University of Vermont, where 10,000 undergrads have to choose by Friday whether to take their fall classes in person or online. And like a lot of other schools, everyone will leave for Thanksgiving break and not come back until the following semester. They're also planning on frequently testing students for the virus. Here's Jane and UVM's provost, Patty Prelock.
Our goal is to exceed the expectations so that we can make sure that we create a healthy environment for our students, faculty, and staff.
So will faculty and staff also be required to participate in testing?
We haven't made that decision yet. We will be talking with them about the expectations, probably going to their primary care physicians if they feel that they've come in contact with someone with COVID. But we don't have that as an expectation at this point in time.
What would happen if a student does test positive?
Yeah, so there is a process through our student health services, and we collaborate with the Vermont Department of Health, and we go through a contract tracing framework where we identify who the individual was with. The student also then is quarantined, and there's a whole process that we put in our document, which has been guided by actually the wonderful leadership of our governor and our Vermont Department of Health.
UVM students also have to sign what the school's calling the Green and Gold Promise, pledging to take precautions to prevent the spread of the virus. But Isaac Lee, a rising junior at UVM, told Jane he doesn't think it'll work.
UVM has done a lot. You know, they're going to be testing people twice a week. They have a very clear set of strict rules. But what I've seen is that there's a lack of clarity in how those rules will be enforced. You know, there's already been reports of, you know, up to 40 people partying. And, you know, when people arrive in the thousands from all different states, I can't help but feel that even more partying and even more rule breaking is inevitable. I don't believe that people are going to stick to the green and gold promise. And I feel that UVM saying that we must stay strong together as a community communicate the message of we are on our own and that help is not coming.
Meanwhile, at Middlebury College, Provost Jeff Kaysen says professors can choose how to teach their classes this fall.
One of the things that really worries us is if there is a significant increase in the virus in the fall and that we have to once again switch to remote. One of the things that we're doing, of course, this summer is to, in effect, prepare faculty to be able to teach online if they need to. So in other words, if we have to pivot again, we want everyone to be ready for that and to be able to do it in a higher quality way. But there's so much uncertainty out there, and I think the notion that we're going to have to be flexible and adaptable this coming fall and perhaps beyond is just going to be the watchword.
Lori Essig is a professor of gender studies at Middlebury, and she's planning to teach all of her courses online.
I just don't think it can possibly be safe under current conditions, and especially now that the World Health Organization has talked about aerosols and how contagion happens in enclosed spaces. I just don't think that's a safe move for me or for most people, including the students. And I personally think pedagogically I'll do a better job online. I can make a very interactive and participant-based class online that would be much more difficult in person if everyone's socially spaced out, wearing masks. They can't break up into discussion groups. So I'm planning on teaching online because I think it's both better from a public safety point of view, but also pedagogically going to be much better.
Maya G is one of Middlebury's 2,500 students. She's home in Hawaii right now, but told Jane that she plans to return to campus.
I'm also part of residential life, so I will actually be one of the RAs who will be in the dorms with students day to day. And that's something that I've thought about every day. That's something that's definitely affected my day-to-day thinking about if I want to return and will my health be prioritized. But I think the idea of limiting the amount of students hypothetically or limiting campus to the students who need campus in order to learn, I think I would totally support that idea. And I think that at the end of the day, though, I think there are a lot of students who do intend to return to campus this fall are taking into consideration, you know, what is really at stake for a lot of people in their student body. I think the more and more peers and friends that I've talked to who in the end of the summer were really thinking like, you know what, I think returning in the fall, it'll be so nice, kind of a return to normalcy. I think they're really starting to realize what's at stake for themselves, health wise, but also at stake for their peers that really need the college campus to continue and finish their education.
And you think people are making choices in some part based on that, what they think their peers might need, not just what they'd like?
Definitely yes and no. I think, of course, some people are going back for, you know, their own reasons of wanting to see their friends and wanting to just be back on campus and, you know, get out of their parents' houses. But I think more and more students are starting to realize that by going back, it won't just be about them. It will be about the rest of the Middlebury community. And I think more and more students who intend to go back are really starting to process what that means.
Other smaller institutions like Vermont Law School have opted to be fully online, and others are still in the process of figuring out what next semester will look like.
For more of this discussion, you can find the full episode of Vermont Edition at vpr.org. And we want to keep following this issue. So if you've got thoughts or concerns about back-to-school plans, get in touch with us by email at thefrequency@vpr.org or on Twitter at @thefrequencyvpr.
Thanks for listening to the show today. We had reporting from Karen Anderson and Howard Weiss-Tisman. Lydia Brown and Matthew Smith produced the episode of Vermont Edition.
Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. Talk to you tomorrow.